I will convene the Joint Committee on Ballot Measures 66 and 67. All committee members are in attendance. We've been through a fairly thorough process over the last 2 days. We received extensive comment yesterday. The co-chairs of the committee met at least 4 times, maybe 5 times, after our extensive comments yesterday, and have talked at least 3 or 4 times this morning. We were trying to get you out a draft as early as possible. I think we were able to do that. It should have gone out by 10:30. We did have to make a few changes after that. In fact, we've been waiting here for a few minutes, and we now have the final change because we've noticed just a few last-minute, more or less technical issues about the measure, where a comma was left out or a period should have been, or a phrase where the co-chairs decide the phrase should be in there that is common throughout the measure should actually be in another location also. So I'm opening the work session, and the process here is Representative Roblin, do you have a motion? And then we'll go to discussion of the motion.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move to adopt the ballot title and explanatory statements for measures 66 and 67. Dated 10/21 at 1:05 p.m.
Okay.
And 10/21 at 1 p.m.
Okay, Senator, I'm always trying to move people from the House to the Senate. Representative Roblin has moved the passage of the ballot title and the explanatory statements for measures 66 and 67, reflected in the draft that we have before us, dated 10/21 at 1:05 p.m. Now I'm going to go, because Representative Roblin has been in discussions with me constantly since long before yesterday. I'm going to ask him to basically give a brief explanation of some of the changes that we made from yesterday's meeting. And I do believe there will be other members of the committee that will want to comment on the draft titles.
Thank you. And I'll do a general one first, just because I think yesterday and all of the comments that came in by email from people around the state, and I think we ended up with 17 email comments as well, we took that very seriously and started having conversations with each other afterwards and to come up with how could we address some of those issues. One of the issues that constantly came up had to do with it's a permanent tax. And I want to be clear, we had a real conversation about that, but the reality is when we say this is what it's going to be, that is by its sense permanent. I mean, that's what it says. And the only reason in the one ballot title that we put in that it's happening in 2009 is that is only for the 1 year for the distinction with respect to the exemption on the first $2,400 for the other people for the unemployment insurance. That is a temporary one. It only lasts for 1 year. The rest of them are permanent. We then went on to explain in the explanatory statement in much more detail how it goes up, and then, after a few years, it comes back down to those new rates that will be set. And in fact, they are set. They continue to be that way. That's what we do. Permanent would indicate that it's going to be there forever. And as everybody knows, our rates have gone up and down. The last time in the 1980s, we actually reduced the top level from 10% to 9%. So we know that these things change. But once they are enacted in law, they are that until another law takes place. So our belief is that by not stating it, it is permanent. That's what's happening. They are going to be there. The next portion that came up, a lot of the discussion was the retroactivity in the bill. And although I think it was made clear that it would not have been retroactive had we not gone through this process, we did go through the process. And so we clearly, in the explanatory statement, went through time and time again to explain that this takes place in tax year 2009. So there should be no misunderstanding that each of these taxes take place in tax year 2009. And we did that repeatedly throughout. I think we also got some of the grammatical issues corrected that we'd had before, and I have to admit I am not an English major. I was a math major. We looked for all the spelling errors that we could, and in this last draft we found one other place where we had not put in the tax year 2009 to make sure that people knew that. We got that back in at the very last minute. So those being some of the really big issues that came up repeatedly in the conversation yesterday, I felt that we worked really hard at trying to meet the expectations that people had in putting forward a document that clearly articulates those issues as people go through. That's pretty much, I think, the summary overall. If people want to go through line by line, we could do that. I know that most of our members have kind of looked through each of those.
I would take additional comments from the committee. Any comments from the House side of the... Yes, Representative Berger.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the time that you two took last night to go through this and add the beginning in the year 2009. Presumably people will understand that, but it is part and parcel of language that I find extremely difficult to understand. And while tax policy is difficult, this does not make it in any way any more clear and understandable. I asked you, Mr. Chair, yesterday when we started this, who wrote this document? Because it doesn't read like any document I've ever seen in four terms on the Revenue Committee, where we deal with very complex tax policy, including this. When I first read this, I had to dive into my revenue packet to say, what are they talking about here? And I thought I understood this measure. So for the general public, I think it is very poorly written, and it goes back and forth between raising this and percentages this and raising that. There is inconsistencies in here. And I would ask if you would, when I asked you yesterday who wrote this thing, you indicated you were the authors of this. I guess I would like to put on the record the question of, were any advocates offering language that made it into this, and groups other than legislative staff and yourselves, because this thing was written by a committee of not the folks that normally deal with revenue committees issues that I have dealt with. And I would hope that the only thing that is clear and crystal clear in this document is the threat. Vote for it, we're cutting services. Other than that, there is nothing clear. I do not deny accuracy in terms of tax policy, but I can tell you it took a long time for me to go through line by line and go through my bill file and figure out that it was accurate. And I have some pretty good bill files with some pretty good explanations in it. I'm sorry to be so negative to the authors, if you are the authors of this language, but I don't think this is going to help the voters. There is a brand new business tax, never been levied before in the state of Oregon, embedded in this. Nowhere is that made clear to anybody by this statement. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Additional comments from the House? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll vote for this language. I think it does an excellent job of striking a balance between providing enough information to give voters what they need to make an informed decision, while doing it in simpler terms than we would ordinarily need use ourselves in voting on statutory measures. I would not want language from the Legislative Revenue Office to be the language that goes out to the voters to rely on in determining whether or not to vote for this measure. I don't believe they would understand that. I don't think I would understand that. It's been suggested that these measures contain a threat that if they fail, that we will cut services. I would characterize it differently. I can't imagine a voter making an informed decision on a tax measure without being informed of corresponding budget impacts, if they exist. In this case, they do exist. It is a fact that the budgets adopted by this body assume the existence of the revenues that are the subject of this referendum. Voters must be informed of that fact. It's true that the word gross receipts tax doesn't appear in this measure. I think it's appropriate that it doesn't. I don't think that's a term that would be particularly helpful to the average reader. It's better to do as you have done in this draft, to use plain English to explain how the tax works, 0.1% on gross revenue. I've reviewed some of the previous examples in recent history of ballot measure language, and although it's been suggested that some of this language is biased or political or, as we heard yesterday, propaganda, it tracks very closely, precisely, to what the Supreme Court and the Attorney General have done in recent petitions. The word retroactive does not need to appear, and there's an Attorney General opinion saying that it shouldn't appear in the caption. Effects on public services, education, healthcare, public safety, there is clear precedent for that in recent history of example of titles written by the court. So it's certainly not a political statement, and to the extent there's disagreement with that, of course, we've built in the right of immediate review directly to the Supreme Court. So we will not have the final word on this. Our language, the language you've chosen, will have to live up to the test of judicial review, and I'm confident that it will.
Additional comments? From the Senate? Yes. Senator Telford.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I got in front of her, you can tell. I want to commend the co-chairs on taking the input from the testimony and email testimony that we received yesterday regarding a number of issues and trying to give clarity to the bill in that respect. We had 46 between emails and persons testifying, 9 were in favor of the verbiage, the rest were not, 2 were noncommittal and they just wanted clarity. So, big but here, as a CPA, this is what I do for a living. I deal with taxes, and I am confused in reading some of this. I don't see the clarity here. I also deal with individuals who I have to convey what a tax means and explain to them. This is not, I don't think, sufficient in trying to clarify that to them. I would love to see a definition of what the minimum tax is, a tax on businesses that don't make any money, that have no taxable income at the entity level. There is a new tax here. That's not mentioned. Very little clarity. It says raises $10 corporate minimum tax, comma, business minimum tax. What's business minimum tax? What is that? There is no such thing. And a corporate profits tax. There's a comma there, so it raises it. So it's very confusing when there's just commas separating these topics, and some of them are foreign words. What's the business minimum tax? Can anybody tell me what the business? We've got the corporate minimum tax. What's the business minimum tax? Can anybody here explain to me what the business minimum tax is?
It is another way of saying the corporate minimum tax.
Then why not just delete it? But in any case, going on. Oh, I'm sorry. Are you commenting on that one?
I'm trying to comment from my memory of all
okay.
of this, and my memory at my age is getting slower. Business minimum tax. I think part of the reasoning there is, in a sense, that the $150 will apply to more than corporations. So that's why the name, that's why the terminology that's business right. rather than corporation is used.
But there is no such thing as a business minimum tax. The statute call it the business.
Right.
Statutes call it the minimum tax.
Right. Yeah. And S corporations pay the minimum tax.
Right.
I think we were trying to be very careful and as clear as we could to indicate that corporations and some businesses pay this tax. So that's the reason it's there.
Okay. Well, again, okay. Clarity is what I would be striving for in this, and I have a little trouble. It also says under the summary, sole proprietors are not impacted by this measure, but in fact they are because of the filing fees. If they have a DBA, they're impacted by this. So it's not a correct statement that they are impacted. Schedule F's farms, which aren't necessarily sole proprietorships under the tax terminology, which is what we're basing this on, they're impacted. So, I mean, there's a lot of things in here that really aren't quite right, and I can see why you're thinking that this better explains it to somebody in layman's terms, but the statements are just not correct. So, you know, it's obvious that this is a done deal, more or less, but I guess I'm kind of weighing in that I appreciate the changes that you did make in regarding the permanency and the retroactive by putting the dates in that these become effective and when those rates change, but I think it's just not clear, and it doesn't really, to me, address all the things that are happening. I mean, really, what in Measure 67, what the bill does is basically eight things. Adds partnerships to the corporate minimum tax, raises the minimum tax paid by corporations and partnerships that have no taxable income from $50 to $150. It adds a new tax to C corporations on total gross sales, creates an additional corporate tax rate. I mean, that's what this bill does, and that really isn't reflected here. So I think it's confusing. I don't think it's true. I don't think some of the statements in here are true, and I think it's just going to, and I do think it's not impartial.
Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chairs. I would just say I think it's certainly a difficult task that this committee has before it to try to write language that is accurate and clear or concise and impartial, as the law says. I think that these two ballot titles are much improved from what we looked at yesterday. I do believe that they're accurate, and I think changes were made that have made them more impartial, because some language that was there yesterday, which I would say might have been more argument than description, is gone. But I do think, as one of my colleagues who that I served together with on the Revenue Committee, as I do now with Senator Telfer, said, it's very hard to talk about the tax code without using jargon, because we have probably one of the most complicated Byzantine revenue codes in the country, and I'm sure they're all pretty complicated. So I do think this is our best effort today to try to describe these, do it in language that an average voter can understand. I think it is important, again, to note that even though the co-chairs are not listening to me.
Sorry about that.
I think it is important to note that a process was adopted for this committee to come up with language that we can agree on, but also to allow any elector who thinks that we have not done our job by the law to appeal this directly to the Supreme Court. So ultimately, the Supreme Court will have to decide if we've met that test of impartiality and accuracy. And I think ultimately it's the voters of Oregon who will have to make the decision. That's the process that we have by law, and I think today we have done our job. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional comments, Representative Berger?
Mr. Chair, I would like, embedded in my comments was a question about whether any lobby or advocacy groups had were able to offer language to this document, and I guess I would like an answer.
Okay. Over approximately the last week, Representative Roblin and I have drafted this document. I did want to have actually put this on the record because I think it's important, because I think people need to understand all the parties that have been actually involved here. Representative Roblin and I drafted this document. We actually obviously have had the assistance of some staff inside the building. I have not personally spoken, nor do I believe Representative Roblin has spoken to any lobby interests directly about this document, other than the people that were here yesterday and the people that sent in communications. I would also tell you that we actually ran into a couple of them this morning, and those were very relatively pleasant meetings, even though they weren't really meetings. We just said hello. And actually, they were both in cafe today. But I did want to clarify something so that people clearly understood this. We constantly actually asked for information to be verified with both the Legislative Revenue Office and the Legislative Fiscal Office, primarily to determine the accuracy of the information that was being put into the document. We also have conferred with Legislative Council. Legislative Council did not draft the document, but we actually have conferred with Legislative Council as to the adequacy of the document as to whether it would meet the proper legal requirements.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I concur with his explanation.
So the words that are written here were authored by you both?
Yes.
You sit down in the process, you keep working through it, trying to figure out what things mean, and words come out, and that's how it eventually got put together. We had staff that were working on that with us. I mean, so, yeah, those are our words.
I mean, particularly the thing we came
to. That's probably why it doesn't look
like
revenue. I guess
you all by yourselves came up with a statement like, for tax years 2009-01, the measure increases rate of 1.8 percentage point on amount of household income between $250,000 and $500,000 by 2 percentage points on amount about $500,000 for individual flyers. Rate increases begin at $125,000 and $250,000 respectively. Wrote that down?
I fully accept that responsibility.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
On that particular one, I feel like everybody kept talking about it being a run-on sentence, and I said, well, you got to have it all together. You can't put commas or periods here because then the first part doesn't relate to the last part. I could have used semicolons, which
then
is my favorite.
Whatever document Senator Telfer was reading from would have been put in front of you at some time.
That's
because
true.
What she was saying was far more clear to the average voter than that sentence by a long shot. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, yes. I just wanted to say, too, that I mean, I know I made suggestions to the co-chairs yesterday because of some of the testimony I heard, and it included things like that we should have phrases for the tax year, whatever tax year we were talking about, since so many people said it should say that it's permanent.
Mr. Chair, I have no doubt last night you added for tax year 2009. Okay, it's the original base document that I had no hand in drafting, was presented with Monday morning. For the first time, that's, I think, the document that I have the objection. And it is still essentially the same document with some editing changes, which I applaud you for. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've spent enough time on this.
Any additional comments? One of the things we'd do is I would ask for, we have found an apostrophe S that
right.
should be added. So if I'm not going to do this in the normal sort of casual circumstance, I'm going to ask for Representative Roblin to amend his motion that is on the floor.
Yeah, I would move that we amend on the back side of Measure 67 in the 1, 2, 3, 4 fifth line. It says C corporations profits, and it should be corporations with a S apostrophe profits. As you know, when the Secretary of State gets this, it is printed exactly the way it is, regardless of whether they find it typographical or a little error. So that would be my proposed amendment.
And I'm going to ask for a nod from the Secretary of the Senate that to make this as formal as I possibly can, I will have a vote on the apostrophe before we vote on the main motion. So the vote that
apostrophe.
Yes,
Mr. Chair, I also understand that in the other one, there's beginning in chapter 2000 is also added language from yesterday.
Oh, but that's in the draft from.
Okay, fine.
So the draft. Do you want to just
add the apostrophe?
Okay.
So apostrophe.
For the draft that you had received on dated 10/21 at 1:05 p.m. on 67, on Measure 67, Representative Roblin has made an amendment for clarification. This amendment is merely to add an apostrophe on page 2. S apostrophe on page 2, line 4?
5.
5. Eyes are gone, too. On line 5. And this is actually not a main motion, so that you are actually only voting on the apostrophe S.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Representative Berger?
Aye.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Senator Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Senator Telfer?
Aye.
Co-chair Roblin?
Aye.
Co-chair Devlin?
Aye. The main motion is now on the floor as amended, which is the motion to approve both statements, ballot measure 67, ballot measure 66, as dated 10/21 at 1 p.m., with the amendment that we have just made to add the S apostrophe.
And 105.
For the record.
As 105. Measure 66 and 67. Yes, you need a clarification?
Do I understand that we're voting on both concurrently?
The motion was on both.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, please call the roll.
Representative Berger?
No.
Representative Garrett?
Aye.
Senator Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Senator Telford?
No.
Co-Chair Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Co-Chair Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Members of the committee, I thank you for your work serving on this. I appreciate the civility of our discussions here. I know that we are in disagreement on some issues. That is actually normal for the legislative process, not always necessarily on partisan lines, but it is normal to have disagreements on the way things that on issues.
Thank
and
you,
so I do appreciate all of your actual being on time, all your participation.
Thank you.
Even Representative Robin and I disagree on things.
and I wanted to say the same. I really do appreciate the willingness to serve and be on these committees. This is difficult work that has to be done, and I appreciate all the people who are here and the time that was spent, and all of the people who came to testify. It is no easy task, and we had a number who came who left their work to be here. So I appreciate the fact that in our state, people do get engaged in these things. And the emails as well, and I appreciate our staff for making that form available so that people could use the internet and other ways to get that information to us. I think those are important avenues that we are just exploring in our legislature to keep people informed about what's happening and having input directly from people as processes move forward.
Any additional comments for the good of the order?
Only a thank you, Mr. Chair.
And thank the staff.
Mr. Co-Chair and staff. But
with
you
that,
guys,
the work of the committee has concluded, and we are adjourned.
So anticlimactic.